Kia ora, welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 342. Today is Tuesday, February 19, 2019. I am ahead of schedule. According to Captain Scott, also known as Sager 69 of the Sagersphere podcast, one only needs to podcast every 6 months. At least that's what he said on the Pride 48 Facebook page. So by that reckoning, I'm in more than 3 months ahead of schedule. So, yeah. I'm back, obviously, and it's time for some updates. This year is the year of a big birthday, which is what I'll talk about soon. But first, I've got some sadder news. And that's that this past week, on Thursday of last week, we had to take Bella for her final trip to the vet. She had had kidney disease for 2.5 years. She was actually diagnosed only 2 or 3 weeks before I went into hospital for my cardiac stent. So we had sort of a symbiotic thing of a sort going on there. But her disease took its toll, and she became weaker over time. And ultimately, by Thursday of last week, it was clear that she was on a really fast path downward. And she was beginning to struggle a bit with everyday things, and we just knew it was time. And as good fur daddies, we knew that we had to do our part no matter how hard it was to do. And it was. Now, I talked about Bella a lot back when she first came to live with us in April of 2010, but it's entirely possible that there are listeners now who were not here then, and because of that, I'm going to talk a little bit about her backstory, how she came to live with us, and all of those sorts of things. And to do that, I'm going to play the old segment intro that I used to play back in those days, which will be new to some and familiar to others.
Meow, it's time for a Bella report. Meow.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
I used to play that music because at the time, Bella was a new pussycat, and she came to live with us in a roundabout sort of way. She actually chose to live with us. What happened is that we went to visit Nigel's brother, and they had a stray cat who was staying at their house. A very scary cat. It had a huge gash on its side, and it was rather aggressive and mean, but it hung around the house. It was the boss of the house, and they had two cats of their own who were terrified to come inside, and they were hiding underneath the house. So we came, and we had a camper at the time, so we were sleeping out in the camper that night, and Jake, who was an only child back then, wouldn't settle. Just would not settle and was really unhappy. So Nigel opened the door to the camper, and Bella jumped in, climbed up on his chest, and lay down to go to sleep. Naturally, Jake was not happy about this development. And she was purring madly and all this sort of thing. So the next morning, we asked if Bella could come and live with us, and we had to consult with our nieces, who at the time were very young. And they agreed because they wanted to be able to visit Bella. So Bella came to live with us, and I took her to the vet, and the vet said that the gash on her side had not been the result of being, they didn't believe, it was the result from being thrown by a car, as the SPCA had thought. Nigel's brother had consulted with them. And instead, it was probably some sort of burn, although they didn't know what. At any rate, that was starting to heal by then. So they gave her a full checkup and realized that she was a bit older than everyone thought. They all thought that she was quite young because she'd been feral for a while and had lost, it was really skinny and trim and all that sort of stuff. So everyone assumed that she was quite young. But the vet determined that she was probably 4 or 5 at that point and that she'd also had a litter of kittens and she had been neutered. And all of which means that at some point or other, she had been somebody's pet, somebody's fur baby. And somehow or other, she went out on her own, or she was abandoned, or something happened. We'll never know what. And she ended up looking for a new home, and she chose us. So we brought her back, and Jake eventually got used to the idea. But in the early days, and longtime listeners will recall this, Bella was really aggressive toward me. She would jump up in my lap, and she would be lying there to go to sleep, and then all of a sudden she'd get this crazed look on her face, and the teeth dug into my hand and claws on my arm. for the longest time, I had scratches up and down my hands and arms, and it was really bad. And I even reached the point where I thought if it didn't get better, we were going to have to send her away. It did get better. And although I don't remember the precise time that happened, what the changing point, the turning point was, is that when Nigel came home from work, he would always give, well, Jake at that point, a treat. Although this could have been after Sonny came to live with us 4 months later. I can't remember. At any rate, he would give the animals a treat when he came home. And it, originally, he would just take Bella's treats and just put them on the floor for her to eat. You know, three of the little, I can't even remember what they're called anymore because we haven't bought them for years. But anyway, the standard cat treats that you can buy in the grocery store. And, but for some reason, he started feeding them to her by hand. And that was the turning point. Once he started feeding her by hand, she suddenly became a much nicer kitty cat, which is not to say that she didn't sometimes still get that crazed look and attack me, but it got much better over time. And eventually it pretty much stopped, and she became just a lovely little pussycat, and she would sleep in my lap all the time when I was watching TV, or up on my lap when I was sitting at my computer, either working or podcasting. And she often would sleep next to me at night, at least start out sleeping next to me, and then go wherever it is she went, I don't know. And because I was asleep, wasn't I? And so she became a treasured part of the family over time. And then in 2016, she was diagnosed with kidney disease. She, and I talked about this at the time, she was sleeping outside in the rain, in the pouring rain. And so that's how we knew something was really wrong. And at the time, the vet said she might make it through the weekend. And if we didn't do subcutaneous fluids for her, which means putting a needle under her skin and filling her with saline solution, that she wouldn't last longer than that. But if we did that, we might get a few weeks or maybe a few months with her. And we tried doing the subcutaneous stuff, but we couldn't get it right. And she was beginning to really get angry at us and beginning to resent it. And we thought, we don't want her last days to be filled with anger and resentment and fear of us after all of this. And so we stopped. And we just gave her renal food instead. It's from Royal Canin is the brand, if you really want to know. Not that that's an endorsement necessarily. It's just that's what we gave her. And she did really well. And we took her back to the vet, I think about 6 weeks or so later. I can't remember. And the vet said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And so we did. And she was really well for a good couple of years. She lived long enough to come to this house where we have lawns and things, and she used to love to go outside and explore in the grass and in the bushes and things. And she would sleep out on the cement driveway, which is behind a gate, so it's not like she was in any danger or anything. And she just loved it here. But then, more than 6 months ago, it was probably more than like a year or so ago, she started being a bit more tired more of the time, and she didn't want to go outside to go to the toilet as she always had, so we had to get a cat box for her. And that worked fine for quite a while, until about 6 months ago or so, maybe a bit later, she started having some visible trouble walking, and she looked a bit arthritic at the time. But then as time went on, she had more and more trouble jumping. She was never much of a jumper. She wasn't the sort of cat who would just jump from the floor into your lap. What she did is she used to pull herself up. She'd put her front claws into my leg and pull herself up, or on the arm of my desk chair for me to pull her the rest of the way into my lap. And that's how she got everywhere. She didn't jump. She pulled herself up. And that became harder for her to do because she just didn't have the strength that she used to, and she couldn't hold on or whatever. And so she found it harder and harder to get into the bath towards the end. This is the last week or so that she was with us. We had her cat box in the bath, which we never used, but it was the cat box was in there to protect it from the dogs. And anyone who's ever had dogs and cats in the same place will know why we needed to do that. So anyway, she was starting to have some trouble with that. And I noticed that a couple times she would try to jump into my lap or onto the bed, and she would not be able to hold on. She'd slip and fall back onto the floor. And this was for about the last week or two, I guess, that she was with us, maybe a little bit longer sometimes, because it wasn't constant. And the last day, the last full day, she started eating less and less over that week. And the night before, she didn't eat at all. She wouldn't eat at all. She drank the usual amount, but she wouldn't eat. She still had me lift her up into the bed so she could sleep next to me. And she stayed there all night long, which was a little unusual for her. And the next day, I didn't sleep well that night, partly because I was worried about her, but also just because, you know, it's one of those nights where I just kept waking up all the time. So I sort of dozed off in my chair, and she was sleeping happily in my lap during all that time. And then when I got up to have my shower and start my day, we fed her in the ensuite to keep her separated from the dogs. And so I gave her some food that would soaked in water, and she ate a little bit, and she drank lots of water. And then she walked over to the master wardrobe and peed on the floor, which I had to clean up, of course. And we knew that this was going downhill fast. And she was having more trouble walking. She wasn't eating much of anything. She looked really tired and weak. And so I made the call to the vet for that appointment. And we had to wait till later in the day so that Nigel could be there. And she went out on the deck and slept out in the sun partly or under a chair or something the whole afternoon, which is one of her favorite places. As she got sicker, she very rarely went outside, but she did like sleeping on the, there's a second story deck that's on three sides of the house, and she liked going out there and lying in the sun. And so it was one of her favorite places. So she spent the last night sleeping next to me. In the morning, she was sleeping in my lap for quite a while, and then she spent the rest of the day sleeping out in the sun. So her last day was, by her standards, really quite pleasant. And so we took her to the vet, and they gave her a sedative to calm her down, and people wandering around doing stuff. And I was alone with her for a little while and just sort of talking to her and petting her. And I realized how tired she looked and how weak and how just exhausted she seemed. This is before the anesthetic was even taking effect. And I knew that if we hadn't done that day, that she would have gone downhill fast, and she might have died peacefully in her sleep, or she might have suffered pain and trauma and all sorts of things. So the sedative calmed her down. She was actually high, to be honest. And then the vet came back, administered the fatal dose, and that was that. And we pick up her ashes today. And so that's the end of the Bella story. And it was a good time with her, ultimately. She lived with us for just under 9 years, which is about as long as Curzon was alive, our previous cat. And so, you know, it was a long time. She's lived in two houses with us, and it was really sad to see her go. But it was the right thing to do at the right time. And I would like to think that if it was possible, if I was in a similar situation, I would like something like that to happen. I wouldn't want to have to linger and suffer just because, you know, people say it must be that way. I don't see why. Nigel and I both thought that when our time comes, we'd like to go very similarly, because she went very peacefully. They'd given her the sedative to calm her down. She was totally relaxed. They, you know, shaved the thing on her arm to put the line in and all that stuff, and she was fine with that. And she just basically laid down, went to sleep, and that was it. And that's how I'd like to go when my time comes, which hopefully will be many decades away, but still. So that's the end of the Bella story. But there is happier news at this time of year, because my birthday was just about a month ago, not quite a month yet, and that was my big birthday. And I have been dreading that thing for a long time, at least 2 years, probably longer. Because there's a psychological barrier whenever you change, well, for me anyway, whenever I change the tens digit of my age, except for 10, I didn't care about that one, and 20, I didn't care so much, but 30, 40, 50, and 60, they were all big deals. And it didn't help that when I turned 59, Nigel said to me, "Oh, now you're in your 60th year." Great, wonderful. So I was dreading it for all that time, certainly the last year up until I turned 60. And as it happens, I was up the night before. I was actually blogging, I think. And it was so close to midnight, I thought, oh, well, I might as well just stay up. And the clock ticked over to midnight, and nothing changed. Now, obviously, I knew that would be the case. Nothing would change. And there was no reason why it should have. But it was just kind of driving home the point that a birthday or anything like that. It's just a day, and it's no different than the day before, and it's probably not going to be any different than the day after, more often than not. And that was certainly the case. It was just a very quiet, ordinary change from one day to the next, and from one age to the next for me. Although, technically, my birthday was the day after my birthday day, because I was born in Chicago, well, Illinois, and that is a day behind, roughly, us here in New Zealand. So I was actually celebrating a bit early, be that as it may. We didn't do anything on my birthday day because the next day we were going to pick up Nigel's mum, and his sister was coming over from Australia later in the week, and then the party on Sunday. And so we needed to get the house ready, and so we did that during the day. We did, you know, a lot of preparation. I washed bedding for the guest bed and got that all made and all that sort of stuff. So we had stuff to do, and we ended up not doing anything in particular to celebrate my birthday. And it was kind of anticlimactic after all that time of waiting and wishing and hoping that everything's okay when I turn 60, or dreading it, to be more honest. And it was nothing. It was just a day. The next day, however, which was my birthday in the U.S., we went and picked up Nigel's mom and brought her back with us. And she always brings bits and pieces that she's got at her place so that so that we can eat it rather than it going bad and still being in her fridge when she gets home, that kind of thing. And this particular time, she had some corn on the cob. So we cooked it up and had that with dinner that night. Now, that's significant. She did not know any of this. But that's significant because when I was a little boy, my mother had this practice that she would always make us whatever we wanted for dinner on our birthday. And some years, she knew I loved corn on the cob, so some years she got corn on the cob when it was in season and put it in the freezer so that she could make it for my birthday. And I can remember that a couple of times anyway, maybe more. And so that reminded me of that when we had corn on the cob on my birthday. Mind you, it was fresh and it wasn't frozen, but it reminded me of what my mother used to do for me when it was my birthday back then, and And the thing that makes it all the more interrelated is that Nigel's mum's actual first name is the same as my mother's actual first name. So it was kind of a nice symbiosis or whatever that happened that day. And I actually really enjoyed that day in particular and that evening. And then the next night, we went next door to the neighbor's house. We're on good terms with our next-door neighbors. And they had us around. We had drinks out on the veranda under the pergola. And they hadn't actually had much of a chance to speak to Nigel's mum before, so we all visited and chatted and so on. And it was a really pleasant evening. And the next day, late afternoon, we went and picked up Nigel's sister from the airport and went out to dinner and just sort of visited and caught up and stuff like that. And the next day we went out for lunch and did some shopping. And then on Saturday, other sisters came up, and they were staying at an Airbnb not far from the house. So we all got together Saturday night, and then the actual party was on Sunday. Now, that may sound odd to have a party on a Sunday, except that here's the thing, that we held it on anniversary weekend. And I've talked about this probably several times by now, but each region of New Zealand has an anniversary weekend. And what it commemorates is the founding of the provinces in the 19th century. Now, all of the provinces were abolished a long, 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 long time ago. None of them exist, except as kind of a sentimental affiliation or whatever. There's no government that goes along with provinces because there are none. So it's an historic thing, and it's also a way for people within a particular region to have a day off, an extra holiday, an extra public holiday. In our case, it was the Monday. So this party was held in the middle of that holiday weekend. And we went to a nearby cafe function place sort of thing. When there's not a function on, it's a cafe. And it's in kind of a rustic barn-like setting. But it's located in these very beautiful gardens. There's a pond on the garden and all that. And so they have a lot of weddings because it's a great place for photographers to take photos. And It was a lovely evening. We had, I've forgotten what Nigel said. I think it's 40 or 50 people, including kids there, I think, including our next door neighbors, by the way. And it was just a really lovely evening. But I had to laugh when we were planning it. We'd been there a couple of times for lunch and really enjoyed the food and the atmosphere. So we thought, yeah, this will be a good place to have my birthday. And it's relatively close to the motorway so that the people who were just coming up for the party would be able to go there, go to the party, and then go home fairly easily. But when we were planning it, the official hours are 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we were able to get in a little early to set up, but they also wanted us to basically be out by 10, which means, you know, starting to wind down at 9 and starting to clean up at 9:30 and so on, and to pack up at 9:30. And it occurred to me that those were appropriate hours for a 60th birthday party because I can't stay up as late as I used to. Say 30 years ago, I just cannot do it. And if I do stay up really late, as I occasionally have to these days for work, like say 2-3 in the morning or so, I am absolutely wiped out for like 2 or 3 days afterwards, literally days. So it was good that it was early enough. And plus, some people had to go home that night, and so it wasn't too late for them to be traveling. And so it all worked out really well. We got back here and sat and visited for a while, and I think Nigel sat up with me, and we just talked for a little bit. And I think we were all in bed by maybe midnight or slightly after, and which is age-appropriate probably. But it was a really good night. And that's essentially where my birthday ended. Nigel's sister went to visit her granddaughter on the Monday, took their mom with her, her great-granddaughter. And then that evening we just had dinner and a quiet, very quiet evening because the next day she flew home to Australia. And then I took Nigel's mom home the day after that. And so it was over about a week or so that we celebrated this this birthdayness, and it was really good. It was really a really pleasant time, even though my birthday itself, New Zealand time, was pretty low-key and in some ways anticlimactic. The rest of the celebrations were all really quite good, and I enjoyed myself. And it eased the transition into this. It still boggles my mind. It's going to take me a long time to get used to it. I don't know if I ever got used to my 50s, to be honest, because having that 6 in front of my age is a huge mindset, a huge mental barrier or whatever to get past. And I'm not looking forward to seeing that popping up on various forms. Like when my hospital adventure and all that started, it would say, you know, 57, 58, 59, and now it's going to have 6 and then digits after that from now on for the next 10 years. And that's going to be hard to get used to, I think, but I'll eventually get there. And the thing is, one of the reasons why this was such a big deal for me is because I didn't know what to expect. And I'm not good with total unknowns. I don't like going places where I don't know anybody and I have to, and I feel uncomfortable. I don't like that sort of thing. And so turning an age where I don't know what to expect was another big deal for me. And because both my parents died at 63, and I had no opportunity, it wouldn't even occur to me to ask them what to expect as I got older. And obviously they never had a chance to share any of that. And it also never really occurred to me to talk to anybody about all those sorts of things beforehand. And so I was entering what for me was completely uncharted territory, and I felt really uncomfortable about that because I didn't know what to expect and didn't know what challenges that I would face, all those sorts of things. So this is my new unfolding story. I'm going to be blogging about all of those sorts of things, obviously, and also podcasting and maybe even resuming doing YouTube videos. Because the thing is, I realized not that long ago, maybe 5 years at most, that there aren't that many gay men in their 50s and 60s and so on who are blogging and podcasting and doing videos about the experiences and what they're going through and so on. Because I know that there are younger people who don't know, obviously, what to expect. Because even if they talk to their parents, chances are their parents will have a different perspective than somebody who is like them. So that's kind of my mission going forward. and that will be to talk about these sorts of things on my blog and podcast and maybe videos. And the way I look at it is this. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I was a grassroots activist, and I was trying to make the world a better place through legislative change and all that sort of stuff. That was my contribution. Now, my contribution is probably going to be talking more about life journeys and what is involved in that, which may or may not be interesting. I don't know. And it may not actually happen either because, you know, I don't have a good track record of keeping up with podcasting and stuff. But that's the plan. That's the idea. And we'll see how it goes. But this whole trip obviously is a long way from, well, I hope it is a long way from being over. And there are things I have yet to learn, and I'm going to talk about those things as time goes on. But that's it for today. I just wanted to talk about the life updates that have been going on over the past few weeks, so far this year. All of the birthday things have kept me from being able to find time to podcast. There were several times that, right, I'm definitely doing it today, and then things came up and I couldn't do it. And so I had the opportunity. I'm going to the grocery store later this afternoon. I thought I'm going to grab the time now while I can to finally record. Next time, I'll update you in some of the stories I've talked about in recent episodes, because there are updates to all of them, and whatever happens to be going on at the time. But that's it for today. Welcome to the new year. A little bit late, but nevertheless. And I'm 3 months early on the deadline, so that's always good. That's it for today. I'll talk to you soon. Kakite ano. Bye. You can comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is recorded and distributed under a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.